Chris Miller with Greenpeace USA. He's a climate and energy campaigner with that group. And Greenpeace, along with the NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council, one of our partners, and the Center for Biological Diversity, have filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Interior for its refusal to provide protection for the polar bear under the Endangered Species Act. We're going to find out more now about what the threat is, and I can tell you that I just finished reading an article that really lays it out very graphically, and the pictures that go along with it even speak louder. And that is an article you can access online. It was in the San Francisco Chronicle. It's a three-part series on the effects of global warming. This happened to be in the first edition. It was last Sunday, and you can access that by going to sfgate.com. That's for San Francisco. SFgate.com, you'll find that. So without further delay, Chris, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What is the current status of the suit? This was filed recently?
That's right. It was filed about a month ago in a federal court in San Francisco. And as you suggested, what we are asking is that the Department of Interior list the polar bear as threatened as endangered under the Endangered Species Act.
So currently it is not, and it never has been on the endangered species list?
That's correct. It has not, nor has it ever been listed as an endangered species.
And exactly where is the threat coming from? I have a feeling it's us.
It is global warming, and we think that this is the first sort of large mammal to be threatened by global warming. You know, as you may be aware, the Arctic regions of our planet are in many ways a canary in the coal mine for global warming. We are beginning to see changes in the Arctic, and those changes are most pronounced, much more so than in other portions of the world. For example, the north coast of Alaska, we have seen since about 1950 a 2 to 3 degree Celsius increase in average temperatures there. This is the very habitat that polar bears, rely upon for their existence, and we are beginning to see big changes there.
And there's so many different ways that they're being impacted, as I am learning, and that is, you know, from the shrinking ice caps where they don't have access to the food and the breeding grounds that they need for long enough, to just their access to food.
That's right. The polar ice cap, the Arctic, is their habitat. It is where they feed primarily on ring seals. It is their breeding ground. It is absolutely crucial to the existence of the polar bear. And what we are seeing is a fairly dramatic reduction in their habitat in the Arctic sea ice. In fact, last September, we saw a more dramatic melt of sea ice in the Arctic than we had ever seen before. In fact, in some places off Alaska, we had seen a 160-mile retreat of sea ice from the shoreline. And so this is hugely problematic for the polar bear.
And in this Chronicle article I referenced at the beginning of this interview, they have a sort of a projection on how much of the Arctic will be shrinking, and you know, between now and 2070. It's frightening. You can see what's already happened. And then the problem, one of the problems, is this starts happening at a more rapid rate. The damage begins accelerating. Explain that it's the melting of the ice, and then how that impacts solar reflection, which then...
That's right. It's an albedo effect that almost it creates a cycle that feeds upon itself. You can think of the polar ice caps, both the Arctic and Antarctic, as well as the ice sheet on Greenland, as large mirrors. They essentially reflect the sun's radiation back to space, helping keep our planet's climate stabilized. As we begin to see a gradual warming in the climate and a reduction, particularly in the Arctic and on Greenland, of the ice sheets, the large white solar reflection of the ice pack is replaced by the darker blue color of the sea, which absorbs more of the sun's heat, causing more melt, thus reducing even further the ice sheet. And so you get this sort of cycle. And once it begins to start in earnest, it becomes very difficult to stop. And this is the threat to the polar bear habit. We are seeing a reduction in the number of polar bears in Churchill Bay, for example, since 1995, we've seen about a 14% decrease in polar bear populations there. We're also beginning to see a reduction in the weight of polar bears, and this is particularly important for the female bears. There is a weight at which, once they fall below, they have an extremely hard time breeding and making future polar bears. So as hunting becomes more difficult, as the ice begins to recede and the bears have less time during the year in which they can hunt, this has an impact on their ability to reproduce over time, and numbers begin to dwindle.
This article also included a number of very dramatic quotes from the Inuit Eskimos talking about what they have personally observed. So if there's any of you out there, any skeptics who don't believe what scientists have been saying, you can read about it, hear about it directly from the people who know snow and ice intimately. I mean, they're the ones who have how many names for snow?
That's right. And that's a very important point to make, is that, you know, the Inuit are seeing changes now. There are a number of signs that we can point to, those of us who don't live in Arctic regions, whether it's the current drought in the West, whether we, think about the increased intensities of hurricanes Rita and Katrina. But the daily lives of people who are living in these places are changing. Their stories are compelling, and the overwhelming consensus of the scientific community on the issue of global warming couldn't be more clear. Scientists agree that the planet is warming and that a good portion of that warming is coming from the burning of fossil fuels.
I found it interesting to read that the Eskimos used to hunt polar bear for meat regularly, but that practice is dying down as they begin to see polar bears with some sort of magical components.
Yes, I mean, I think that's right. They are, as the threat becomes more clear, they are taking on a more mystical sort of power to the Inuit.
There was one quote from an Eskimo that said they actually see bumper stickers around that says Alaskans for global warming. I think that's tongue-in-cheek, saying, you know, we could use a few more degrees of warmth here.
Sure. But, I believe it is a bit tongue-in-cheek.
But no danger of it turning into the tropics, but serious dangers lurk. We have less than a minute left. If our listeners, and I hope they do, want to get involved, see how they can weigh in on this lawsuit, where can they go?
Certainly would encourage them to visit our website at www.greenpeaceusa.org. You can learn a lot more about the polar bear, the work that we're doing around the lawsuit, and our broader campaign for moving this country towards a renewable energy future, which we feel is crucial if we're going to tackle the issue of global warming.
And do you think you'll see some action on this lawsuit soon, or is this going to be tied up for years?
Our hope is that we do hear back over the next couple of months from the Department of Interior and their intent. You know, we would certainly hope that they will consider listing the polar bear as endangered, which would then drive real changes in order to protect their habitat.
Because the polar bears don't have time to wait around. You're listening to Chris Miller, Greenpeace USA, on EcoTalk. We'll be back right after these messages with more talk about endangered species you may not have heard of.